Elsewhere, in other accounts and at other times, he will speak to people on a mountain, a place you climb. He and his people will ascend to a place where he speaks words that elevate, lift up our eyes, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our heads, words that put our feet on lofty ground. Those stories are about moving to an elevated position in order for human life to encounter the divine. Typical of Luke, the story today happens at a level place. The Greek word pedinu for level or plain carries within it the idea of being a good place to have your feet on level ground. Other times people will have to be brought up to move closer to the heavens for the encounter with the holy to take place. This time, Luke says specifically, he came down with them, and he stood on a level place. They came together from all walks of life, from every direction, from all over the place, each from their own circumstances. They gathered around to hear him, and as he spoke to all of them, he was speaking also to each of them. Some will go away from Jesus' sermon today thinking, surely not I, Lord. Some will go away thinking, okay, let me just remember these things to do, and then I'll get kind of a quid pro quo, this full measure of which he speaks. Others will think, if I can just remember to do these things, then I'll be on the right side and I will have earned God's love and God's favor. And some will be convinced that as he spoke to the crowds gathered from all over, city, country, shoreline, poor and mourning, and rich and laughing, they'll be convinced that what they heard from him was a set of statements that added up to a question, asking them personally, who do you say that you are? And who do you mean to be? It's important to practically all of us, I dare say, that people speak well of us. And it's good for us to prosper and thrive and flourish. And that means money. In addition, I mean, plenty of other things too, definitely. But in a world darkened by poverty, it's important to name the goodness of the security of having some money in the bank and in the pocketbook. It's also good to have abundance at the dinner table, to be able to make not only healthy choices for food, but enjoyable ones sometimes, and even to splurge from time to time. And God knows it's good to laugh. I mean that sentence literally. God knows it's good to laugh. So, when we're standing there at that level place, and Jesus is saying, blessed are you who are poor, blessed are you who are hungry, we all, in appropriate Christian sympathy, go, amen to that. God bless those people. I'll share a little food with them. I'll support SVCM and Bounty and Soul and Hand in Hand, and do so in gratitude for what I've got. And when he says, blessed are you who weep, we cry with those people. We pray for those people. It hurts in here. That's called compassion. That's the literal meaning of compassion. When you suffer, I suffer with you. And when he says, blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man, I can look at those people who are dealing with that hatred and derision and so on. And I can say, you know, that's true. As long as you're sharing God's demanding word with humility, you know, so it's not just you spewing your own opinion under the guise of self-justifying statements like, hey, I'm just being honest. There are times when a faithful person will have to share ideas that don't sit easily or comfortably with everybody else in the room. Ideas that may threaten structures, including structures in here and in here, that have been painstakingly built and defended over lifetimes, over centuries. The way Matthew tells it, everybody falls under these blessings, or can. I may or may not be what anybody would describe as poor, but maybe Jesus means poor in spirit, and that I definitely am from time to time. So here today at this level place where we all meet on the same footing, I keep waiting for Jesus to assure me that he doesn't just mean the poor as in the people that I call the cops on when I see them in my neighborhood. I'm waiting for him to turn around and look at me and say, I mean all of you. You should all interpret poor as covering really anybody who's ever had any kind of affliction at all, economic, political, spiritual, whatever. I mean, bless you all. I keep waiting for him to say that. And finally, he turns and looks in the direction of me and the place where I grew up. And the place where I live now, and the people I grew up with, and my church, and my country club, and the good schools that I went to, and my neighborhood. And as I smile at him, a beatific smile, knowing he's about to bless me too, he says, "Woe to you who are rich. You've received your consolation. And to you who are full now, you will be hungry. And you who are laughing now, you will mourn and weep. And when all speak well of you," that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets. And all of a sudden, standing on this level place isn't quite so much fun anymore. What did we ever do to make him so unpleasantly inclined toward us? The people coming out to hear Jesus were an oppressed people in an occupied land, all of them. But within that context, there were some who profited off the losses of others, some who increased their power at the expense of the already less powerful or powerless. Start with the tax collectors. Corruption was sown into their line of work pretty much from the get-go, and the more heartlessly they took advantage of people's poverty and inability to fight back or protect their resources, the more successfully the tax collectors were doing their jobs. And that corruption went all the way up to the top as far as the social, political, and economic structures were concerned. So now, having turned the world as they knew it upside down by blessing the downtrodden and seeing woe in the doing all right crowd, Jesus said to them all, "I say to whoever among you will listen to me, poor and wealthy, hungry and full, just and unjust, unpopular and popular, I say to whoever listens to me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, not pardon, not excuse, not submit to or be victimized by, but pray for those who abuse you." After 9/11, I took a lot of phone calls from people who wanted to know what in the world we were supposed to do with turn the other cheek at a time like that. Over the centuries and through many of our lifetimes, it's been easy to get tangled up in the weeds of trying to dissect scripture passages like this one, especially in light of times like that one. Couple of thoughts on that. In the first place, I don't really hear this sermon of Jesus as a laundry list of specific things to do. And in the second place, the gospel is specifically not about quid pro quo. I do this so that God will give me that. God already showers us with incomparable, incomprehensible love. We've already got the full measure pressed down, shaken together. It's absolutely, this is, you know, that's what they're talking about, unjust measure is being used, which is a whole other area of corruption. This measure is you get the full amount of whatever it is you are getting, pressed together, shaken together, pressed down. This is going to overflow. It already does. God has given us life and love and people and beauty and truth and purpose. To me, it sounds like Jesus is saying, what I am describing to you is a vision of the kingdom of heaven. And what I'm describing to you is a vision of who you already are. Not your to-do list, but who you are. In this world, you will be judged and categorized, and sometimes unfairly, but sometimes kind of accurately. Woe to you who have, while others lack, and don't do anything about it beyond feeling sympathetic. Woe to you whose laughter is the thoughtless cackling of the ignorant who stand on the shore while people are drowning within your reach. But to those of you who have been trampled down and taken advantage of and left by the side of the road, as well as those who unwittingly or wittingly are part of the oppression, I have good news. God has a different world in mind. And not just for some next life, so that some have to live out this life in misery and die in obscurity, while others live in ignorant arrogance and then die and go to hell. That's not the way it works. But a vision for this world, which, like all worlds, is also God's domain, also God's creation, also the place where the spirit is free and the will and judgment of God are not to be trifled with. In this world, all those who hear God's voice will not only love the people who already love them, will not only do good to the people who already do good to them, will not only be generous toward the people from whom they can expect to get something. This is a vision of the kingdom of God. And it's a vision of who each one of us can be. Who would you say, if you had just like a couple of quick words, who would you say that you are? And who or what do you mean to be? In considering that, I wonder if maybe the question is not, you know, what would the person who you want to be do differently than the person that you are right now? But maybe the question is, do you know that you are already a child of God? Do you know that you are and always have been a creature, a creation of the God who loves God's creation? Do you believe Maya Angelou when she writes, "You are enough. You have nothing to prove to anybody"? Do you hear Desmond Tutu when he says, "Dear child of God, you are loved with a love that nothing can shake. A love that loved you long before you were created. A love that will be there long after everything has disappeared," which scientists tell us it will. "You are precious with a preciousness that is totally quite immeasurable. And God wants you to be like God, filled with life and goodness and laughter and joy. God who is forever pouring out God's whole being from all eternity wants you to flourish. This is still Desmond Tutu speaking. God wants you to be filled with joy and excitement and ever longing to be able to find what is so beautiful in God's creation. The compassion of so many. The caring. The sharing. And God says, please, my child, help me. Help me to spread love and laughter and joy and compassion. And you know what, my child? As you do this, you discover joy. Joy which you had not sought comes as the gift and almost the reward for this non-self-regarding caring for others. Desmond Tutu. To bring this good news to each of them and to all of us, Jesus came down with us as we sat, lay, stood, or were held, and put his feet right with ours on a level place.